The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. When I read this gospel, it makes me think of when I was a kid. Our parents were pretty strict about studying and academics. And there was a lesson that was hard for me to learn. But whenever I would turn in my work for my mom to check it, my homework, she would take out a red pen and she would circle every time I used the word I. That's what kids do. It's all about me. That's what some adults do too. It's all about me. So as we listen to the gospel today, how many times does this Pharisee use the word I? I thank you. I am not like the rest of humanity. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. Even his prayer is all about him. But the tax collector simply says, God, he's paying attention to God. Be merciful on me, he says. Well, in the first reading, the writer of the book of Sirach talks about who God is. God is the God of justice. He knows no favorites. I wonder if everybody really believes that there are no favorites in God. This is what he says. The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. And then this next line, I don't think I looked at it as carefully as I did last night as I was putting this together. He says, he knows no favorites, though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. So this double negative thing is a problem, because what they could have said so much more easily is, though he is duly partial toward the weak, and hears the cry of the oppressed. He has a special option for the poor, I think is how we usually say it in Catholic social teachings. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard, and his petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. This was the message Jesus said last week too. The just judge is going to give us justice speedily. Remember from last week? So from among all of us here, I wonder who believes what we just heard about the poor. People have many idols that aren't things. Maybe the ones who would like to seem the holiest, or the ones who would like people to think they are somehow more righteous or better or correct or maybe more educated. God knows no favorites. Wait, does that even apply to non-Catholics? Or even so-called unbelievers? Pope Leo's new apostolic exhortation is about all of this, and I'm going to read three paragraphs from that exhortation. It just came out a few weeks ago. Pope Leo writes, Jesus' teaching on the primacy of love for God is clearly complemented by his insistence that one cannot love God without extending one's love to the poor. Love for our neighbor is tangible proof of the authenticity of our love for God. As the Apostle John attests, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The two loves are distinct, yet inseparable, he says. Even in cases where there is no explicit reference to God, the Lord himself teaches that every act of love for one's neighbor is in some way a reflection of divine charity. Truly, I tell you, he says in the Gospel of Matthew, just as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. It is easier for a poor person to get into heaven, Jesus says. Pope Leo continues, for this reason, works of mercy are recommended as a sign of the authenticity of worship, which, while giving praise to God, has the task of opening us to the transformation that the Spirit can bring about in us, so that we may all become an image of Christ and his mercy toward the weakest. Who are the elect that are mentioned? Isn't God's call universal? So doesn't he call all people? If not, the door is open for us to do what the Pharisee is doing in the gospel today. Thank you, Lord, that I am not like this lousy tax collector here. He can pray a devout prayer to God and violate God's love at the same time. If you're really paying attention, this is shocking. In the early Christian community, acts of charity were performed on the basis not of preliminary studies or advanced planning, but directly following Jesus' example as presented in the gospel. The letter of James deals at length with the problem of relations between rich and poor and asks the faithful two questions in order to examine the authenticity of their faith. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The tax collector has a heart completely different from the way the Pharisee is judging him. If all of us are called, then the elect are simply the ones who recognize the call and answer it. The elect are the ones who use the gift of God according to his plan and not their own. The gifts of each of us are different. God who gives them knows our fullness. We do not. His plan is to fulfill us, and we can't see it often because we are focused on ourselves. We worry about our individual fulfillment. But the fulfillment God has in store for us is much more than the full stature of each person or individual. Each member of the body exists only as a member of the body and not in and of itself. It is the full stature of the body, Christ himself, that is our fulfillment. We rupture this communion with our self-centeredness when we start with comparisons, judgment, finally, division. Thank God I am not like this person here. The Pharisee is unable to see his brother, and so is unable to truly see himself. Persons are defined by relationship. Unable to see the tax collector and his value, the Pharisee is left in the shallowness, arrogance of his own judgment of the other, and it falls back on himself. He doesn't even see himself anymore. When we consider ourselves not for ourselves, that is the beginning of humility. We are only a part of something much greater, this body of Christ, which is a gift I could never even imagine myself a part of, but by the goodness of God and his calling, we can respond and live fully.